All right, well, this morning we're going to start a new series, and we're calling this Letting Go. And it's loosely based on a message I heard from Craig Groeschel, and he did a little series about letting go. And so today we're talking about letting go of stuff. It's, been pretty impactful in my life. Next week, Pastor Anna is going to talk about letting go of distractions. Then I'll be back to talk about letting go of control. And then she's going to wrap up, Pastor Anna, with letting go of your past. So a very powerful message there. I think a powerful message to today to kick things off with. But still, you won't want to miss out on any of this. So I hope that you'll plug in with what we're talking about, letting go. So a couple things before we get started. I want to remind you that this world is not your home, right? This world is not our home in any way, shape, or fashion. But as we travel through life, we tend to pick things up, and that's a loaded statement, right? We pick things up like baggage, and so that comes in the form of, like with hurts. We experience a hurt, and we take that with us through life. We may have disappointments that we take and place on us, an unmet expectation, maybe bitterness or failure, talk about these abstract things, maybe even just junk as well throughout our lives. If you have to move frequently, sometimes it's easier to get rid of stuff because you don't want to move it across country or wherever you're moving to. But we tend to collect stuff that doesn't even like count for much in our lives. So as we experience life, if we're not careful, we'll be overloaded with stuff, whether it's tangible or intangible, emotional or physical. We're loaded up, and I keep thinking of, I don't know if you've seen the movie Labyrinth from the 80s, you know, people in my era maybe, yeah, this junk lady, and she's hunched over because she's just got all kinds of junk or stuff that she thinks that she needs through life. And that's what we are susceptible to as well. We will hold on to things, or we'll not let go of things that keep us from living the life that God wants us to. So that's really where we're going this morning. Are you living the life that God wants you to live? And if not, what changes need to be made so that you can live the life that God wants you and designed you to live? So today, letting go of stuff. Today's message, again, has so much potential impact for you that I'm so excited to share this. It's better to have less of what doesn't matter and more of what does. Okay? Let me say that again. It's better to have less of what doesn't matter and more of what does. Okay? We're going to unpack that a little bit here. Because everything in the world, in our culture today, seems to be screaming the opposite, doesn't it? You need to have more stuff. You need to have a bigger house. You need to have more toys, more big boy toys, and you know all that stuff. And it actually reflects one of the first lies that Satan told humanity, and we have it in Adam and Eve back in Genesis. They were to enjoy all of paradise, right? Nothing except one thing was off limits. And so what were they tempted to do then? Go to that one thing. Satan comes up, and I'm sure he sounded like a snake. Did God really say, you know, you can't eat from this? Did he really say that this is not right, you know? Like, he gets Adam and Eve to question what God has really said, to say, you know, like, I've got all of this, but there's still one thing that I need out there, and that's to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And so that's what they did. They thought that one thing that they couldn't have would make them fulfilled, would make them feel happy, would make them more like God. And it really did, because their eyes were open to the knowledge of good and evil. Again, the cultural mantra today is that more is better, right? More is better. If $1 is good, then $2 is better. Right? If you get a regular paycheck, that's good. And if you get a bonus, that's even better, right? So if you have one car, then two cars is even better. One vacation is good, so two vacations is better. That does sound pretty good. You know, I like Milk Duds. I don't know what kind of candy you like, but I know that if I were, I can eat a whole box of like movie size Milk Duds, and that's a pretty big package. You know, when you go to the movies and you have a big package of Milk Duds or whatever you like, but that's about the limit of what one person should eat, right? I don't know if you've tried to push this limit. I know my limit, and I'm not going to, because I don't want to see that again, right? Because there's such thing as too much of a good thing, right? If you have too much candy, that leads to something not good. So there's such thing as too much of a good thing. And so we see Solomon, and we see a lot of things that he did wrong, but a lot of things he did right too. And we're going to pull a verse from Ecclesiastes 4:6. He says here, "Better is one handful with tranquility." Think about that for a second. Tranquility, peace, and joy. Would you like to live a tranquil life, you know, to be at peace and have joy in your life? Well, that's better than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. Ecclesiastes 4:6. Again, less of what doesn't matter and more of what does. Life is too valuable. Your purpose on planet Earth is too great. Our God is too good to waste on stuff that won't last. The most important message is the gospel. It's too important for us to abandon the gospel and just chase things that would make us, our own selves, happy. So my life does not consist of my stuff. My life does not consist of my stuff. The stuff that I have does not define me. And that's what I'm hoping you would take that on for your own personal mantra as well, that my life does not consist of my stuff. My life is my life. Stuff I have, and we'll talk more about that in a second. But again, the world is shouting the opposite, saying you are what you have. If you have nice clothes, then you look nice. And if you have a nice car or a nice house, then you're nice, or you're well off, or what you own and what you, all those things, you know. Again, I pictured the junk lady from the labyrinth, you know. Like, she has lots of stuff, but that doesn't make her who she is. The world's saying, what you don't have, you need, right? We just came out of Christmas season. There's a lot of advertising that says that, oh, you need this, you need that, you need this and that. And as much as I love Apple products, I don't love how much they push their products and how often they upgrade, and they want you to get the next best thing, the latest and greatest things, right? But they're no different than the rest of the world. You need to have this and you'll be fulfilled. If you owned this, then you would be satisfied. That's what the world says. That your stuff will make you happy. Your stuff, your how you look or what you're wearing will make you popular or cool. Or if you have this thing or that thing, then you'll fit in and you'll feel good about yourselves. That's the lie that the world says. But what if the stuff you have is actually robbing you from the life that God wants you to live? If we've got this turned around, if the world is really, we bought that lie and we've been acquiring stuff and been placing an importance on getting stuff, can you see how maybe that's distracted you from the life that God wants you to live? Because Solomon, again, better is one handful with peace, with tranquility, than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. So if you're taking notes, we're going to jot down three things called one handful living. One handful living. And so there's these three thoughts I want you to write down. Number one, throw it out. In order to live one handful living, like Solomon is saying, with tranquility, the first step we need to take is to throw things out. Throw things out as if your life depends on it. And for some people, it does. Like, I haven't been to many of your homes, you know, so if you feel like you have a clutter problem or a hoarding problem, I'm not speaking to anyone individually, okay? But for those, I've seen the show Hoarders. their lives depend on it, right? That there's only a path to get to the bathroom or the back room or wherever. And then, like, if something were to happen, an avalanche could happen with all the stuff that they have in their homes or apartments, right? You've seen the show? So those people, maybe some of us, need to throw things out. Because here's the point. Your life does not consist on the abundance of things. Okay? People who have that kind of... Maybe it's a disorder, I don't know, or that mentality of I gotta hoard or have all this kind of stuff, if we're gonna go there, they think that their life is so important. They need all those things. There's a lot of things going on with that mentality, though. But we need to not just declutter, but de-own the things that we have. Now, pulling from the hoarder status to maybe just normal, you and me or whatever, you know, owning less is way better than owning more. Owning less is actually better than owning more. Trying to think how much I want to ad lib here. If you have a lot of things, it's hard to keep track of them. It's hard to maintain or keep up with them. But if you have only a fewer things, then you're able to invest in those things or make sure those things are good, running and order. Owning less is way better than owning more. Yeah, you missed the first part of the message. I'll share it to you later. So let's look at the rich young ruler, okay? He's a guy in Matthew chapter 19 who was wealthy, and he had kind of a problem. And so we went to Jesus, and here's what the problem was. Jesus said to him that he didn't say to anyone else. He said to this person specifically because he knew that this guy had a lot of stuff, but his stuff had control of him. Okay? All right? Jesus told him to go and sell all of his stuff, to give the money that he earned and give that to the poor, and then to follow him. And he spoke of treasure in heaven. That's hard to see, right? The treasure that we put in heaven, the investments that we make in heaven, we can't see. But what Jesus is confirming here is it's better, it's more important to have less of what doesn't matter and to have more of what does matter. Matthew 19:22, when the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. He couldn't get rid of the things. He couldn't think about getting rid of his stuff because his stuff was too important to him. You know, it's not wrong to have nice things or stuff. It's wrong when your stuff has you. It's wrong when your life is defined by your stuff. It's wrong when you feel like you need that stuff in order to live. It's wrong when you think that stuff is all that you need or that your stuff gives you self-worth. You never know what idols you have until Jesus asks you to give them up. Because isn't that what an idol is? What's most important in your life? Is it Jesus or is it your stuff? And so if Jesus asks you to get rid of your stuff because it's too important and to put your priorities right, if that steps on your toes, that might be a problem. It's not wrong to have things. It's wrong that things would have you. Two main reasons people hold on to stuff. Well, there's knickknacks and dishes. You know, I've seen people that have collected dishes and they're incomplete sets. I'm like, why would you even have all of that? You know, you think that you have some precious set and it's incomplete. People hold on to VHS tapes. Why? I mean, maybe you've got a VHS player, but. There's junk drawers in every home in America, right? We have one as well. Maybe there's MC Hammer pants that you haven't worn since the 90s, but you know, you're gonna hold on to those things. I know that fashion like comes around again. Don't hold on to things until it comes back around. You don't need to hold on to stuff that goes out of style and wait for them to come back in. But two reasons that people hold on to stuff like that might be fear. You know, they might be fearful that they need that stuff or those items for the future. They might fear that the children want them, you know, after they pass on, they want to give that to them. They fear that it would be a waste. You know, I've got all this stuff or this collection of stuff. I don't want to waste it. But I suggest that that's a poverty mindset, and that a poverty mindset is actually a lack of faith. That if you give what you think you need, and you give it in faith, and you're saying, okay, I think I need 5 crock pots or 15 sewing machines. I mean, if you give a bunch of stuff away and you really need 14 of those to come back to you at some other point, then you can trust that God will give that back to you. You know what I'm saying? So if you're holding on to it, saying, well, I'm going to start a quilting ministry with my 15 sewing machines, and you don't do it, it's better to give it away, okay? So don't let fear keep you from letting go of stuff, because I know that those kinds of people will want to say, well, I might need that later, right? I might need this later or that. Or you might even spiritualize it and say, I want to be a good steward since God gave that to me. But again, if you're not going to use it, you could give that away and you could be a blessing to someone who might need something that you have. And you're exercising trust that if you need that back in the future, that God will provide. So here's a good exercise. Get one, give one. Right? If you get a sweater, we got a lot of things for Christmas, right? So if I got a sweater, I'm going to give an older sweater. I got a dress shirt, so I'm going to give a dress shirt away. I was looking at my dress shirts, and I happen to not wear a lot of dress shirts anymore, or ties, so I gave away a couple dress shirts this year. If you get a new pair of shoes, you can give away a new older pair of shoes, right? Get one, give one. It will really keep what you have. It'll keep your closet, if we're talking about clothes. It'll keep it organizable, you know, it'll keep it lean, all of your stuff. And really, if you haven't used it in the last year, do you really need it? If you haven't used your stuff, you know, I think back again, hoarder status, there's a mountain of stuff. What's in the corner at the bottom of the pile? How do you even know what's there? Oh, but it's important. Okay. We need to move stuff out if we haven't used it. So I am practicing this. So not just Christmas time, you know, where we've gotten and received or upgraded or whatever. I'm in part of Stitch Fix. I'm happy to say that. I know it started with women doing this thing, but it's for men too. I don't like to shop. And so once a quarter, 4 times a year, they'll send me stuff. Several outfits of clothes, and so that way I don't have to shop, I don't have to pick out what's trendy or fashionable or whatever. So it's a great way for me to get new clothes, but I'm not just receiving, I'm giving away as well. And so that's helping me give away some of the older clothes, jeans, shirts, and stuff like that. Even this year, we got a TV. We upgraded a TV. So instead of another TV for us to have in our house, which we have enough, we gave it away. We don't need to hold on to everything that comes into our house. If we get something, we can give something. All right? So we were talking about fear. That's one of the main reasons people hold on to stuff, fear. Another reason is sentiment. You know, maybe it was a gift that you received. Maybe it was your first ribbon that you got 4-H. Maybe stuff from your children, you know, every drawing that they ever made throughout their school career. You might hold on to that because of sentiment, you know. Maybe your kid's baby teeth you're holding on to for some reason. I know people do that. I don't know why, but it's sentimental. Well, some of you have some in your baby teeth. There's an author who's actually been on TV now, Marie Kondo, and she is kind of an expert in minimal living. She's Japanese, and so I don't subscribe to everything that she says or does, but I just discovered this TV show that she has. It's on Netflix, if you're curious. What's it called? Tidy? tidying up. And it's kind of a spin-off of like the show Hoarders, like I mentioned, you know, where you save it, you keep it, and then you have a pile of stuff you're going to give away and stuff that's just trash you're going to throw away. So it's kind of like that. But one takeaway that I took from a summary that I read about this book is that you take this item, whether, let's say it's something sentimental, your kid's baby teeth. Thank you, God. You thank the item is what she says, but we can say, thank you, God, for these teeth that represents the health of my baby, and I love them, and now I'm going to release them to the trash so they can go somewhere else, okay? So that's the idea, is that you thank God for whatever that thing is that you have for your stuff, but then you release it, you let it go. You can be a blessing to other people, or you can throw it in the trash if it's not going to be a blessing to someone else. So I think that's a really cool thing for us to practice. But then something else we thought of a couple years ago, we were living in a smaller house, and so Pastor Anna figured out, what is the cost per square footage of our house? You know? So you know the measurements, the square footage of the house that you have, or your apartment, and you divide that by your monthly rent or mortgage, multiply it by 12, and that's how much it costs per square foot. So if you have a box that's 1 square foot and it's full of junk, ask yourself, is it worth $10, $15 a year sitting here? If I haven't touched it, if I haven't gone through it or used it or been blessed or received joy from it, if it's only sat there for a year and it's cost me $12, $15 to store it, is it really worth it? So that's a good question that we can ask. Is it worth storing for the years that it's sat there? So don't let stuff crowd out what matters most. And that's what the problem is with having so much stuff, is that it crowds out what matters most, which of our possessions are really the most important, you know? Better's one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. So, number one, throw out. Number two, buy less. Okay, this is getting real practical. I'm sorry, but we need to buy less as culture, as Americans. 62% of people have admitted to shopping to cheer themselves up. And I can relate to that too. It does kind of give you a little rush if you're bargain hunting. You're like, oh, I bought all these things on sale and it saved me so much money. Well, you know, you'd save 100% if you didn't buy it, you know? Those things that you don't really need. It can be entertaining, or that powerful feeling. It just gives you a momentary sense of significance. I can relate to that. But Dave Ramsey says this, and I love it. We buy things we don't need with money we don't have to impress people we don't like. Why do we do that? We're caught in this trap of like, oh, that guy over there, he got a new suit. I'm going to get a new suit and I'll show him. What? It doesn't matter. Why are you trying to keep up with the Joneses? You know, that it doesn't matter. We need to buy less. Whether we buy stuff or want stuff, we have that desire in us to impress others, to feel fulfilled. We see something different actually in the Psalms. It says there, turn my heart towards your statutes and not towards selfish gain. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word. And that's Psalm 119. Another translation I like says this, cause my heart to bow before your words of wisdom and not to the wealth of this world. Help me turn my eyes away from illusions so that I pursue only which is true. Man, that's really puts it in perspective. We need to get to a place where God, our life is so full of God, where all that we pursue is Him and His ways. We don't need stuff to fill a void that's inside of us, because we do all have a void inside of us. But it's a void that can only be fulfilled with our relationship with God. We don't need stuff to make us feel better about ourselves or to define who we are. need to get to that place where our life is full of Him. So we can choose experiences over things. I love this concept. Choose experience over things. Even before Christmas, I was asking our kids, I'm like, do you remember what you got last year for Christmas? And they could remember a few things. And I said, well, what about the year before that or before that? You know, we tend to not remember the things that we receive. We remember the experiences that we have. So I think, and I submit that they remember some of the things that they have because it was based on an experience. Like if we got something when we went to San Antonio, it's because we had an experience of going to San Antonio or something. So choose experiences over things, because our stuff, whether we hoard them and keep them for the rest of our lives and we die and someone else throws it all away, or whether we choose to throw away or give away, those things will just pass away. Those things are all only just temporary. The things we really should carry through our lives is not the stuff, but the experiences that we have, the joy, the relationships that we have with one another. Throw out stuff. Give stuff away. Buy less. You don't need more stuff, for that's not the stuff of life. Experiences are. So, one handful living. Number three, give more. If your stuff isn't junk, if it's too sentimental to throw in the trash, you can be a blessing to other people. If you're intending on giving something as an heirloom to pass it on to your kids after you go to heaven, why not pass it on now and let them experience the joy of receiving that now? Why don't you get to see their expression? Get to see where they put it in their house, you know? I think that's pretty neat. Paul said to Timothy, command those who are rich in this present world. So let me pause there, because a lot of us will think, well, that's not me. I'm not rich. Well, let's zoom out, you know, and think of not just in America, but because we are Americans, we are rich, okay? We may not be as rich as others, but if you drove here, you are in the top 5 to 7% of richest people in the world if you drove here. If you had three meals yesterday, or you had the option of having three meals, you're in the top 40% of the world. If you could order a pizza for lunch right now on your phone, you are super rich. Considering everyone else in the world, we are rich. And so this verse applies to us. He says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. So even there, just there, Paul's saying, it's okay that people have stuff. It's okay to enjoy the stuff as long as the stuff doesn't have you. Then what does he tell them? He says, command them to buy more, to hoard all of that stuff until you don't have room, and you have to buy more storage space to store all this stuff outside of your house. No, he doesn't say that at all. He says, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. True life is not the accumulation of stuff. To be a blessing, to experience experiences, to have relationships with one another, to overflow with generosity, that's the stuff of life. To have less of what doesn't matter and more of what does. When you're raised with that stuff mindset of thinking that more stuff is better, I know that this idea and this message is really weird or sounds really difficult to understand, but I encourage you to start with small things. Maybe you have extra silverware. If you're a single person and you've got a dinnerware set for 8 or 12 or what, or multiple sets, you may not need all that stuff. So start small. Maybe there's clothes that you don't fit into anymore. I have some of that. I was setting them aside thinking, well, I'm going to lose the weight, so then I'll be able to wear those clothes. It hasn't happened yet. I haven't been able to snap my fingers and get back into those clothes, so I've given them away, and they can be a blessing to other people. So, you know, XOP is a great place to give various things. It's great to give to someone that you know that you have something that they need. You can be a blessing to someone else. It's a wonderful feeling to give and meet needs. There's even a lot of joy in giving anonymously. When we were at Bible college, we were on food stamps, and this other family was a bigger family, and I don't know why they had need, if they didn't get on food stamps or what, but they had need at Christmas time, and so we always had more than enough food through the food stamp program. So we bought them groceries, set it on their doorbell, rang the doorbell, and ran away, and just kind of peeked behind the corner, and that was such a rush and such a joy to give, even though we didn't get to look them in the eye and say, we want you to have this. We have been blessed. We have more than enough. We're not going to hoard to ourselves. We're going to give to you. It's a great feeling to give. What did I say at the beginning? This world is not your home. This world is not our home. Better is one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. So two questions. Are you accumulating on earth what you cannot keep? Are you investing in heaven what you cannot lose? What's our priorities? We need to really think about this, about letting go. Throw out, buy more, give more. Less of what doesn't matter, more of what does. Why? Because life is too short. Life is too valuable. Our God is too good, and the gospel is too important. The things that we can do, the influences we can have, the blessing that we can be to other people through this act of giving and out of generosity can change people's lives. Let's pray. God, thank you so much that you have given us so much, that you have lavishly poured out your love to us, and in many ways you have poured out your blessing to us as well. As we think about this and maybe reflect on the notes that we wrote this morning, as we go throughout the week, God, may we evaluate our stuff. May we look over the stuff that we have. And we may not have piles of stuff. We may have just a little bit of extra here or there. But God, help us to remember that we can be a blessing to others, that we don't have to go above and beyond. We don't have to give $1 million. We can give a couple pairs of clothes and meet somebody's needs. That if we upgraded a refrigerator, we don't need a refrigerator in the garage. We can give a refrigerator to somebody and they can use that as a blessing, God. So help us, Lord, to realize how much you've given us, how much we can be a blessing to others. And may we experience the joy in giving, and may we have fun in that this week as well. And as we go through this year, Lord, thank you, God, for all these blessings to us. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.